The Norton Anthology of African American Literature was published today. More than 2,500 pages of novels, plays, poems, stories, essays, sermons, spirituals, folk tales, blues, and rap, 200 years of spoken, sung, and written tradition gathered under one roof. The anthology and its accompanying CD are a testament to the importance of the African American literary tradition and to the significance of the writers chosen for inclusion. The anthology was co-edited by Nellie McKay, Professor of American and Afro-American Literature at the University of Wisconsin, and by Henry Louis Gates, Professor of African-American Studies at Harvard. Gates talked about two reasons for this anthology.
We edited it so that never again would anyone anywhere say that they couldn't teach African-American literature because they couldn't get the texts. There was no good anthology available. That's what I hope that we have created. But the second reason, I think, that we felt it important to engage in this project was because so many people think African Americans are fundamentally inferior intellectually, whether they say it out loud or not, to other Americans, particularly to white Americans. And one way to refute that is to show how marvelous, how resplendent our literary creations have been for the last couple hundred years.
You start with things from the oral traditions. You start with songs and stories and spirituals in some cases and jokes in other cases. Beginning an anthology with anonymous is sort of an unusual thing to do, I would think. If especially if what you're headed for here is creating the example of African American literature.
When we think of modern masters in musical traditions in this century, what tradition has more modern masters than the African-American in music? Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Jelly Roll Morton, Bessie Smith, Clara Smith, Billie Holiday, John Coltrane, Miles Davis. But when we think of African-American literature, we don't think of that comparable tradition, and there are a couple reasons for that. One is that black people were able to excel in the expressive arts because we created them for our own consumption. I mean, the market for black music consisted of black people. The market for black literature, by and large, consisted of white people. Often, the people who created our literature were writing to refute these stereotypes that we just discussed, the stereotypes that blacks were inferior intellectually. And so we started the anthology on the page with the anonymous section to pay tribute to the truly sublime part of our tradition, that space between the spoken word and the sung word and the printed word.
You set out to create a canon. You set out to set some kind of a benchmark. Was it difficult to do? I mean, did you disagree much about what ought to be in it?
Well, we were able to anticipate disagreements by establishing a curious sort of structure. Nellie and I were the general editors, and then we picked period editors. And each period editor basically had full discretion over her or his period. We wanted them to work discreetly, and that's what they did, from beginning, middle to end.
I wonder what you did fight over.
I think whether to include certain contemporary authors was the most contentious issue. I mean, people still living. Well, and the black intellectual community is very tiny. So it's not merely rejecting a book or a poem. It's rejecting a person whose career is affected by inclusion in this book or not. But it's not a Sears and Roebuck catalog. It's the canon. I mean, what best represents the African-American tradition between 1970 in this case and today? And who are the really good writers? I mean, in the end, you have to make a judgment. You have to say, this is our best. This is our finest. This is us at our most sublime. And that is a matter of enormous debate.
You're not going to tell me who?
No, I can't. No one comes to mind.
But included in this anthology are writers who are all the way from W.E.B. Du Bois, who you would certainly expect to be there, who is there with all of the souls of black folk, and Queen Latifah.
That's right.
Did you get into any kind of tussles over putting rap in?
Well, Nellie hates rap. And she reluctantly went along with the decision to include rap music because she doesn't see it as a serious or sophisticated. I don't want to put words in her mouth, but I would think that she doesn't see it as a sophisticated art form. I disagree, but that's okay. But we decided that we could make some compromises. And Queen Latifah, I think even Nelly was pleased to see in the anthology.
There are all kinds of accounts of lives during the period of slavery that are very interesting to read.
Well, the African American slaves were the only slaves in the history of slavery to create an entire genre of literature based on their right to be free, their right to be considered full members of the human community. Ishmael Reed joked in one of his novels that the slave who was the first to read and write was the first to run away. And that connection, as the Yale critic Bob Steptoe puts it, between freedom and literacy, is one of the fundamental themes of this anthology. That we were a people of the book, too. And when I was growing up, I was born in 1950. The blackest thing you could be was Thurgood Marshall or Dr. King or Gwendolyn Brooks. Too many of our people have lost the understanding of that aspect of our heritage, that books were tools to our liberation. And what we want to do is to transform the way literacy is taught to inner-city black kids, to make them realize that we have a great tradition of letters, not just the basketball and sports.
You've obviously read everything in here. Mm-hmm. I mean,
a couple times.
I assume you read everything in here before it went in, long before it went in here.
Yeah.
But when you see it all together as a body of work, all 2,600 and some pages of it, what is the impression that it leaves you with, do you think?
Well, the first thing I did was cry when it came. It was Julia Reedheads, our editor at Norton, and she FedExed it up, and it was on my desk on Thursday afternoon. So I walk in, there's this big red book on my desk. It looked like the Bible or a dictionary or something, and I looked at it, and I realized, and it's the first time I had seen it, and it's in this form. And 10 years of dreams and 10 years of our labor collectively, to be able to assemble a tradition that began in 1746 when blacks were not even recognized as full human beings, let alone, you know, as citizens. And they struggled against the most enormous odds. And they wanted that struggle recorded through the pen. And then to have all these sort of shards and fragments of a tradition passed along for two centuries, and to show that continuity in the connection between liberty and letters, between literacy and individual freedom, is I think, to chart the triumph of the human spirit in blackface in this country.
Henry Louis Gates, who with Nellie McKay edited the new Norton Anthology of African American Literature.